heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. Savory corned beef, crunchy sauerkraut, melty Swiss, creamy Thousand Island dressing, toasted rye. Subway. So much Reuben.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there and for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Welcome into the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry is on assignment, but we are so pleased to have back on the program VA Secretary David Shulkin. Mr. Secretary, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, happy holidays. It's to say you've had a busy year is quite the understatement, right?
It's been a great year. We've been getting a lot of work done to help our veterans.
Yeah, and let's talk about that just a little bit. So since February, what do you look back on this year and are the most proud about what you and your team have done at the VA?
I think what we're doing is we're tackling the hard issues to really fix the problems that have been in the VA sometime for decades that have spanned multiple administrations. So we now have accountability legislation so we can move people out when they shouldn't be working at the VA. We've taken important steps to modernize the VA, like selecting a new electronic record that will work with the Department of Defense finally, so that veterans don't have information that is falling between the cracks. We're modernizing our facilities and making sure that veterans aren't waiting for care when they have urgent health care needs.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about taking the long view of everything. Sometimes that's not the most popular thing to do when everybody's looking for a quick fix or a Band-Aid. How has that experience been, and have you been able to kind of explain what you're doing and to satisfy a lot of people that that needed those answers?
I do think that's part of our job here in government, which is not to take the easy way out and to pass the buck down the road, but to make those hard decisions. And we're very fortunate in the Veterans Affairs area where we're working well in a bipartisan way with members of Congress and with the president's support, of course, to get those decisions made and to make them right so that generations from now will have a strong VA.
Yeah, and it does seem like Congress, better or worse, is taking some action in terms of what the VA wants and what veterans want. What do you think in terms of looking down the road as far as what's on the table right now in Congress? What do you hope is accomplished and what would you like to see?
Our biggest legislative need is to get our CHOICE program fixed and to get it legislatively in the right format. Both the Senate and the House are actively considering legislative solutions to making sure that veterans who need to get care in the private sector can do that in an easy and efficient way. And we're working very hard with our leadership in both the Senate and the Congress to get the right bills passed.
Yeah, we're talking to VA Secretary David Shulkin here on the National Defense. And so on a personal level, what have you enjoyed the most about your interaction with veterans in the past year? And could you point to an event or a meeting or situation that you've had with a veteran that that really gave you some gratification?
Well, I think that there are so many interactions because these are amazing men and women who have just given so much to the country, and now the opportunity for us to give back to them is a true honor. But I'll give you two particular events that stand out in my mind. One was recently getting to sit down with one of our most severely injured veterans who came back from a recent conflict, who had had trouble in the past getting good care from the VA and pretty much had given up on the VA for his healthcare needs. And I worked with their family and asked them to give us another chance, and recently got a chance to visit with them. And they now are experiencing a new environment at the VA where they're thrilled with the care they're getting and it's very responsive to their needs. So that says to me that we're headed in the right direction. The second example is just an example that happened about 20 minutes ago where a 8-year-old girl sent a box at Christmas time to both me and the president filled with stockings that she's made, over 2,000 stockings
oh,
that
wow.
she delivers to veterans and to active military members to thank them for their service and to let them know that there are people all over the country who are so grateful for what they've given to the country. And so both being in the position as secretary to not only interact with our veterans and their families, but also average Americans who are out there appreciating what our veterans and what our active service members are doing is really such an honor for me.
Wow, what a great story. 2,000 stockings. That
yes.
had to take a little bit of time. And at 8 years old, you know, you can just think about what she's going to do in the future in terms of, you know, giving and taking care of people. That's just fantastic.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Mr. Secretary, that's kind of what we've been seeing on this program over the past year. Not only individuals, but companies that are stepping up and really trying to provide not just lip service, but real jobs and benefits to veterans. And I don't know whether it's just the times that we're living in or whether they just realize that veterans make excellent employees. But is that kind of what you're seeing too at the VA?
Well, we are. And that secret is no longer a well-kept secret that
right.
veterans make among the best employees. They contribute more, they volunteer more, they have leadership skills, and so we've seen now an unemployment rate of 2.6% for veterans, the lowest that it's been in 17 years.
Wow.
And I think you're right that at a time where the country seems so divided, this is something that the country agrees upon, that these men and women, which now represent less than 1% of the population who are enlisting in the military, are really very special people that deserve the full support of the American people.
Yeah, and you know, we have a regular appearance by the Home Depot Foundation and Home Depot, and it seems like every veterans organization we talk to, Home Depot Foundation is involved. I don't know if you've had any interaction with those folks, but man, they are
sure
they're out
they've
there.
They've been great. They partner with our local VA hospitals and help provide, you know, outdoor equipment for them, and whenever we have a need, they always step up.
Yeah, just great stuff. Hey, and back on the healthcare front for just a second, I did just read this morning that I guess the VA has taken a slight shift toward medical marijuana. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
I don't think that there's been a shift. Federal law does not allow us to prescribe medical marijuana. Of course,
right.
There are 26 states that do, and our veterans who are in those states may choose to participate in some of those programs. But we are doing research in medical marijuana, and I think that as we get more experience with veterans who are going out into these states and seeing whether they get help, we want to make sure that we're studying those results, because if there are therapies or new approaches to helping patients, whether it's with PTSD or pain management, we want to make sure that we're able to learn from that and take advantage of that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, with PTSD especially, we talked to a lot of people on this program, all of these different avenues now, whether it's yoga or equine or these different therapies, there are some things that are seriously working and being done in the area of PTSD, and that is great to see.
I think the message is that there are things that work. Sometimes some therapies work for some veterans and not for others, so
sure.
It's important to keep working with your doctor to find those therapies that work the best for you.
Well, I just want to thank you for what you guys are doing, what you continue to do, the research projects, and just taking care of veterans. You've got the toughest job in the country, and you've just got a lot of work ahead of you. So thank you so much, VA Secretary David Shulkin.
Thank you so much.
And happy holidays to you and your family.
happy holidays as well.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 150 years, your first line of defense.
Merry Christmas. I'm sorry I'm running a little late today. I had to finish a bottle. I was doing research for the show, as always, because, you know, I like to research the people that we have on a show.
Well, you're late every week, so you're doing way too much research.
I'm doing a lot of research. Leon Tackett is with us. He is a vintner from Tackett Wines. Leon, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How about you guys?
I'm doing great. And listen, thank you so much. In anticipation of the show, Leon was gracious enough to send me a couple of bottles of his wonderful wine.
Sent you
yes.
a couple of bottles.
Yes, because I told him that you don't even go near the stuff.
I don't.
So we got... so we've got, he should.
I go to jail, though. If I,
well, that's true, know. Yeah. But Leon, you sent me what, the Red Blend and the Cabernet, which were both just absolutely fantastic.
Outstanding. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, just some great stuff.
Well, the wine not only tastes good, it's there's something special about all this wine.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, Leon, because Leon, we've had the EOD Foundation on many times on the program. Those are the guys that go out and before drinking the wine, they go and try to get rid of bombs.
Yeah, those IEDs, all sorts of nasty things.
Right. So, and I got to tell you, Leon, when I got the wine, I was terrified to open it.
No booby traps. You were good. Yeah.
But this is such a cool thing that you guys do. You're an EOD veteran, and do you own a winery, or did your dad start the winery? How did that go?
Actually, my wife and I started it from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 10 years ago now.
Who'd you serve with, Leon?
Excuse me?
Who'd you serve with?
I was Navy for 27 years.
Wow.
22 of that was in EOD.
You don't look that old.
22 of that was in EOD. So 22 of that he spent getting rid of bombs.
What are the odds that you're still alive walking around?
Yeah, right.
You have all your limbs and fingers and...
I was lucky enough to get out all unscathed.
Man, you are lucky.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
That is... and thanks for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you guys now are still serving because you're doing a special wine and you're donating, a portion of proceeds, all the proceeds, to the EOD Foundation, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, Leon, what was the one, the blend, is it called Red Blaster, Blaster Red?
Oh, Master Blaster Red.
Master Blaster Red.
Now, that sounds interesting. I might try that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you guys have a lot of fun with this, but it's such a great benefit to the EOD community, not only just the money, but also the exposure, getting the word out about what they do in the foundation. And how long have you been doing that?
The wine itself?
Yeah.
It's been about 8 years now. It started with 30 bottles that we did for, we were going to do a one-time fundraising event, and it just blew up on us.
Wow.
I got it. Yeah, you're killing me.
No pun intended, right?
So what are you up to now? Starting with 30 bottles.
Well, we've got six different labels for the EOD Sellers line. My little chintzy on you, I only sent you two of them, but we got our basic blaster, senior blaster, master blaster. We got a deck cord.
That's great. Congratulations, Leon. It's just a great effort. It's a great bottle of wine, and it's a very reasonably priced wine for what you get. I mean, it's just some terrific stuff.
You know, it's a great American story.
It really is.
Chasing a dream and landing your dream and helping other people at the same time, man. That's something else.
Tackett.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better. It's a lot of fun.
TackettFamilyVineyards.com. That's where to go. Leon, thank you so much, man. You guys have a really Merry Christmas, and thank you for everything that you've done.
Yeah, thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys, and Happy New Year, too. Thank
Same you to you.
You too.
Same to you,
yes,
brother.
Sir. And I guess I'll just sit around and wait for my next shipment.
There you go.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry. Jerry, I'm just trying to think, when was the last time we had a four-star general on the show? I don't know. I mean, maybe never. This is great.
I don't lock my heels very often.
Exactly. Right. General Merrill McPeak is on with us. General, how are you?
Hi, Randy. Good morning. I'm great. And Jerry, nice to be with you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you. This is airing on Armed Forces Radio Network on Christmas Day. So this is going to mean a lot to
absolutely
to those folks out there, for sure.
And,
of course, we saw you all over. Now, we had Ken Burns on the program.
Yep.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did. And a fascinating interview. Just an incredible man.
Yeah, prior to the documentary being aired, we had him.
Right.
Yeah. Just prior.
Yep. Yep. And you were all over that documentary, of course, and served as an analyst for Ken Burns. How was that experience?
Well, I worked with him and Lynn Novick, his co-director,
sure,
for 5 years. And part of that was one little interview they did, about an hour and a half. And so there are bits and pieces of me scattered through four of the 10 episodes. But really, most of the work was as a technical advisor. I guess I was the resident expert on air power in, you know, using airplanes in Vietnam. And so it was a lot of fun. He's semi-smart, and she's a brilliant woman. So I had a lot of fun working with him.
And I had read that you learned some things through working on this documentary.
Yeah, I did. I thought I knew a lot about Vietnam because I was there, and
flew 269 combat missions.
Yeah, where'd you fly out of it, by the way?
Well, I was at Phu Cat the first part of my first 6 months or so, and then at Tuy Hoa. So, two of the in-country F-100 bases. We had four F-100 bases, and I was at two of them.
Ah. Yeah, 269 combat missions in 37 years in the Air Force would make you the expert in all of that.
Think?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like all professional military in my generation, I wasn't happy with our performance in Vietnam. And so, you know, worked very hard in the years after that to try to undo correct mistakes and you know, give us the capabilities that we really showed we didn't have there.
So you disagreed with the doctrine in Vietnam was let's run things from Washington, D.C., pretty much, right?
Yeah, I think the view is really better from the point of attack.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think we should stand around waiting for the White House to say, okay, ready, aim, pull the trigger.
Yeah, but don't make sure you don't drop anything here or at this location, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. General McPeak, I want to ask you about what you thought about the...
I did want to say one thing.
Yes.
That as someone who spent time on the ground as a grunt...
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Air Force and those fast movers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I probably saved your life.
I'm sure you did.
just one of many.
Yeah.
But, General, I want to ask you what you thought. So I was very impressed with the documentary and Ken Burns' part of it and not really having a side. I mean, it seemed to be very fairly done and really didn't have any hidden agenda to it. Is that kind of the point you got?
I think it's correct. It was very balanced. You know, it's the first documentary that I've ever seen that had interviews of from the North, from the Viet Cong, from the NVA, from Politburo members, from prominent figures who were on the other side, and to listen to the story of how they saw what was going on was absolutely fascinating, and to learn that, for instance, Ho Chi Minh and General Giap were marginalized, that they had little to do with the decision-making. I mean, Ho Chi Minh was very surprised when the Tet Offensive came along. You know, how can such a seminal event be a surprise to the guy who we thought was leading the other side?
Yep.
Wow.
So there was a lot to be learned there. I think by all Americans. And as a consequence of it being so balanced, you know, the thing is being attacked from both the right and the
right.
left.
Right. Sure. Of course. Yeah.
In some ways by people who've never seen it or who haven't put, you know, it's a long piece of work, 18 hours.
Oh, it took him 10 years, right?
I worked with him for 5 years.
Wow.
It's amazing that how you know, quickly the time went by. But, so I think it's a very well-balanced, well-organized, and more or less neutral point of view, just trying to tell the history, not trying to warp the history or make it seem to fit any particular agenda.
Right. I agree with you. You know, I've seen a lot of movies and I've read countless books and I kept an open mind on this documentary and I absolutely believe they did a great job on trying to be balanced you know, the way I look at people who are attacking it are ill-informed and they weren't paying attention to what Ken Burns was trying to do with this documentary.
Yeah. Well, the people who are attacking have a point of view.
Right.
On the right wing, they say, we could have, would have, should have won
in
Vietnam if Walter Cronkite had only not surrendered on on television. So these are people who I don't think any amount of evidence will change their mind. Mm. Sort of the flat Earth society.
Yeah, simplistic to the max.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll show you this picture of Earth taken from space, and it shows the round, right?
Right.
Well, I don't think that was fake. That's
you're
a conspiracy.
Right.
You know? So those people I don't think you can really debate with. On the left, the argument is that the anti-war movement was right from the beginning. We should have listened to them. They were right all along. And we could have saved billions of dollars and a lot of people if we just paid attention to what they have to say. I think it's a harder argument to answer because in some respects, you know, that does account for the facts. But some of the anti-war, some manifestations of the anti-war movement, like, for instance, I've still not gotten over Jane Fonda going to North Vietnam.
Right. Yeah, there's not many of us that have gotten over that one.
That's right. That's right.
So,
journal screens and countless VFW posts across the nation is testimony to that.
That's right.
No, she's a beautiful woman, but I don't want to kiss and hug her just yet.
It's actually her birthday today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's her birthday today. How old do you think she is?
I have no idea.
80
years old.
Well, she must be. I mean, she and I were there about the same time.
Yeah. We're talking to General Merrill McPeak here on the National Defense. And, General, I wanted to ask you about your job as chairman of the American Battle Monuments Commission, if you can talk about that a little bit, and actually served under two presidents for that.
Yep.
Yeah, I've just been relieved of that duty in the last couple of days. So
this is
breaking news.
Yes.
But I was chairman of the American Battle Monuments Commission for 8 years. I was very proud to do it. It's pro bono work. It's not a paid job.
And by the way, you did a great job.
That's most kind. But we had, you know, we've got 120,000 combat dead buried overseas. So the American Battle Monuments Commission has responsibility for 26 cemeteries. Some rather large ones. Our largest one is in Manila, in the Philippines, you know, over 20,000 people buried there.
Oh, wow.
And some famous ones. Normandy, I guess, is our most famous one near Omaha Beach. But they're all beautiful. They're all well-maintained. Got 400 people in the commission taking care of making sure that the grass is mowed and the headstones are properly cleaned and so forth. So it's a very, very something I was very proud to do, and now I've been replaced. A new commission has been named. A new chairman has not yet been named, so that may take a while, but this commission's been around. John Pershing set it up after World War I.
Oh, wow.
And was chairman of it until he died in 1947. Then George Marshall was chairman, Mark Clark was chairman, Andy Goodpaster was chairman. So it's always been a retired four-star officer. I'm the 10th chairman and the first airman to have been chairman of the
I was going to say, you're up there in some rarefied air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. It's a select group.
Very good people. It's a wonderful thing that we do. And I'm very proud to have served, and now my service is over, and we're going to hand it off to somebody else. I just don't know who yet.
And Colin Powell had a great quote when he talked about what the men and women serving our country and how that you're not looking for glory or fame, and we're not looking to dominate any other country or take over any other country. All we're looking for... it's a small place to bury our dead.
Yep. And, of course, now we didn't bury anybody in Korea.
Right.
We brought them all back. We didn't bury anybody in Vietnam. We didn't bury anybody, haven't buried anybody in the Middle East. We have a lot of airplanes coming back empty, you know. So
yes.
we put the coffins in, we bring them back, and we buried them all here in the United States. So... in a sense, the Battle Monuments Commission is looking only at World War I, World War II, and previous. We've got a cemetery in the Panama Canal Zone where we have some people who were killed building the Panama Canal. There's a Mexico City cemetery where people from the Mexican War are buried. So luckily or unluckily, whatever, we've been able to return the bodies to next of kin here in the United States. But for people who were buried overseas, it's a very important mission and an honor to have served as part of it.
Wow. Let's talk about the current situation at situations, which there are quite a few right now, that we're confronted with. Now I understand you're hawkish in North Korea and dovish in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So whatever that means. So does that mean you just want to bomb hell out of North Korea and just let Iran get a pass? Or
look, I was in the front row for Desert Storm.
So, right.
I think that war, that particular war was done very well. You know, it was over in 44 days. We did accomplish our mission there of expelling Iraq from Kuwait. And it was an honorable war, a stand-up war. I also thought it was important to go into Afghanistan and make sure it was never again going to be a haven for Al-Qaeda or people who wanted to attack us as we were attacked in 9/11. So really, the context of my views on the Middle East are situational. I mean, what's the situation? You tell me, and I'll tell you whether I'm hawkish
right.
or dovish. I think that since Afghanistan, we have not done well in the Middle East. I did not support the idea that we should go into Iraq too, because there were weapons of mass destruction there. I didn't think that was so, and it turned out not to be so, and so forth. So it just depends on, you describe the scenario, and I'll tell you whether we should go there. But in the case of North Korea, I think the scenario is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crazy guy in charge of a government there that has been surprisingly quick in developing an attack, a capability to attack us with nuclear weapons. I don't think we can allow that to happen.
Well, General, it has been an honor to have you on the show, and hopefully we can get you on again and cover some other topics, because something tells me that you have a pretty good opinion on a lot of topics.
Well, thank you, Randy and Jerry, and Merry Christmas to both of you. And fine, let's have do another session sometime.
That would be great.
Thank you
so much, and Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much.
Cheerio.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Hi,
This is Veteran Affairs Secretary David Shulkin on the National Defense Radio Show. I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all of our great men and women serving in our military, plus all of our veterans and families serving here at home.
Hi, this is Senator Richard Blumenthal on the National Defense Radio Show, simply wishing you a wonderful holiday and Happy New Year to you and your families, with tremendous gratitude from all of us in the Congress and the country for your service and sacrifice. I have four children. Two of my sons have served. I have very distinct recollections of recent years when they were abroad, my son in the Marine Corps deployed to Afghanistan, another son in the Navy deployed elsewhere, absent on holidays and leaving our pride in their service mixed with sadness for their absence. And I know your families miss you and you miss them, but please know how thankful we are for all you are doing for our great country. And you are helping to make it the greatest country in the history of the world on every day, not just holidays. I want to tell you that we are keeping you in mind on the Armed Services Committee of the United States Senate and the Veterans Affairs Committee. I serve on both, making sure that you never have a fair fight by giving you the best equipment and training in the world, and that there is employment and skill training, health care, and disability benefits, if you need any of them, when you become veterans. And so we're working hard to expand those opportunities and make sure that we keep faith with all our. I hope that you will enjoy the holiday as best you can. You'll be at work, even if you're off, and you have our gratitude, our pride, and our faith. You are all very, very important to our national security and our national defense, and we wish you well, and be safe, and God bless you, and God bless our great country. Thank you, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, U.S. Senator. Thanks for listening.
This is the National Defense.